Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here. And you know, for a missionary, the biggest enemy we have is these things. Trying to make sure they work and the clock. You ever notice that? Clock. Let me get my Bible. I kind of come up here premature. Thank you for having me here. And I was going to introduce, you know, my lovely fiance, but you guys have already had that introduction. We are very excited for where the Lord is leading us as a couple, and we just recently got engaged on April 7th. Yeah, April 7th. You know, I wrote it down, but I wasn't going to look. Our ministry is Labors with Christ, and if you could get that slide up, the PowerPoint presentation that I prepared. We were having some trouble in the beginning getting it started, but it looks like it'll run. So there was a brief presentation with pictures. I'm sure you guys have seen your share of pictures from Pastor Tom and of the work that's going on in Haiti. And that is our ministry name, Labors with Christ. It comes from the passage in Luke where it talks about the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, and it's really our heart's desire and our heart's cry to come alongside of Christ and reach out to the nations, reach out to people whose hearts maybe are closed or they never heard of the gospel, they never heard of Jesus, and to be laborers alongside of Christ. So that's our ministry organization, and that's where we'll be moving by the end of this year after our wedding. So the exciting plans, and I can't reiterate enough and agree with your pastor enough that we do need your prayers. This is work that isn't just fought on the country, in the country. It's fought from our knees, and we need your prayers. Before I get into my message, I want to tell you the story of a little boy named Johnny who lived in the country. And out of all the things that he hated the most, the thing he hated the most was the outhouse he had to use every time he needed to use the restroom, because it was always cold in the winter, it was always really hot in the summer, and it always stank, like outhouses stink. And so one day he decided, you know, I'm going to push that thing, get rid of it. And he went after a nice spring rain. The river was swollen by where the outhouse was. He took a stick and he pushed that thing in the river, watched it float away down the stream, and a feeling of satisfaction came over him as he watched that happen. He went home that evening and he met his dad at the door, and his dad had a switch in his hand. He said, "Son, I'm going to take you to the woodshed." How many of you guys grew up in that area? "So I'm going to take you to the woodshed." And the boy knew the reason why, but he decided to ask why. And he was like, "Why, Dad?" He's like, "The outhouse, it's gone. It was pushed in the river this morning, and I think you did it. Is that true?" And the son looked down at his shoes and said, "Yes, Father, it is true. I did do that." And then his eyes brightened up, and he looked up, and he said, "Hey, you know, I was just listening and reading in school that George Washington, when he chopped down the cherry tree, his father asked him, 'Did you chop down the cherry tree?' And he answered truthfully. Because he answered truthfully, his father didn't discipline him. I think that's a really cool idea, Dad." And his dad looked at his son and said, "Yes, son, but George Washington's father wasn't in the cherry tree when it got chopped down." So how many of you guys know that little Johnny is going to get what he's got coming? And the Bible has a way of putting that I like very much. It's from Galatians 6:7. And it talks about you will reap what you sow. That's the Bible's version. So you're going to get what you have coming. And it can be good if you're working for the Lord, or if you work alongside the Lord, you'll reap good things. If you're doing, you know, consequences are part of our everyday life. Tell that to your children. When I grew up, man, I knew the rod. I knew what happened if I did something wrong. And we're going to leave Johnny now at the outhouse or at the woodshed with his father, but we're going to move on and use that as kind of the overhead thought for this message of reaping what you sow. What are we doing? Are we being practical? Are we thinking? What are we doing while we're here on earth? To begin, I'd like to share my background.
I was 14 years old when I went to Nigeria the first time. My parents felt the call from God to go to serve the people in Nigeria. How many of you guys have been hearing Nigeria in the news lately? It's full of persecution from Muslims. And at that time, it was okay. It wasn't as dangerous as it is now. But I was there when I was 14 years old, and that was my first time outside the country in a third world country. And it was a big shake, like it shaked my whole spirit. Just so I can get a feel, how many of you guys have been outside the U.S.? Could I just see your hands? Raise them high. All right, keep your hands up. Now, if you have ever been to a third world country, if the country you visited was a third world country, keep your hands up. If it wasn't, drop it. Wow. Pastor Tom, take a good note. We need to work on the people. Just kidding. So, third world country. I encourage going on mission trips to these countries. And while I'm working in Haiti, we have teams. I don't know if you noticed some of the pictures of teams holding babies, but we get about 20 teams a year coming down to Haiti. And you just see the impact that it makes on them to be put in a different culture where they lose a lot of their things. So I'm going to continue with what I first started experiencing when I was in Nigeria at 14 years old. The things that started hitting me was, wow, I took so many things for granted. So many things for granted. We had electricity. We had generator electricity for 2 hours in the evening. Other than that, we didn't have anything. We had to boil our water. The water wasn't drinkable. We had to boil it because they collected rain from the roofs, and it would flow down gutters and go into a cistern underground, and then we'd hold it in the cistern. Then we'd pump it up to a holding tank, and if the cistern got too low, we wouldn't even have running water in the house. We'd have to hand bucket it up. We'd take bucket showers, bucket baths. We would wash our clothes with buckets. We would wash our dishes with buckets. We'd flush our toilet with buckets. And as I was getting used to this way of living, it wasn't something impossible to live in, but all the stuff like a toilet that actually flushes with water, you know what I mean? Stuff that you don't even think about, you realize when you go to a third world country. Bikes there, they're not recreation. They're a means of transportation to get to work. If you have a bike, otherwise you're walking everywhere. We walked probably a mile to go to the grocery store, to the market. And while we were walking to the grocery store, we'd buy all our stuff, and then we'd carry our bags back home as we were living in Nigeria. Some other things that we experienced was the food. I mean, I like eating. It may not look like I like eating that much, but I like good food, a lot of variety. In Nigeria, we didn't have much variety. We had rice, spaghetti. You get my point? Like very little variety of food that we had in Nigeria. And so moving from Iowa, where my grandma was a caterer, she'd have like this good food at the end of every event. We'd go to her house and eat. I lived a mile away from my grandparents growing up. And then we moved across the ocean where we couldn't even hardly communicate with them because internet and Skype wasn't around. And these are all things that started hitting me left and right. And I'm like, man, all these things that I'm going through, instead of it being something that crushed me, I just became overwhelmed with how blessed we as Americans are with the things that we have. How blessed we are with the things that we have. You know, there's many people in third world countries that will never know what it's like to walk into a room, push a button, doors close, they open up, and it's a different room. Or they'll never know what it's like to be able to put something, open a door, put something inside, close it. After pushing a couple buttons, what was once cold is now steaming hot and ready to eat. It's just a few things that we have that we use every day, but we don't seem to realize the blessings that we have to be born in this country and to have the things that we have. You know, and that's what I first came to the conclusion. I was blessed. And when teams come to Haiti, they have the exact same thing. They come and they begin to realize and recognize all the things that jump out of them. I usually ask them, I'm like, what are some things that you realize you took for granted? They said, well, food. In America, we just throw everything away. Like, or after a potluck or something, we just throw it away. We're so wasteful with the things we have. Or fresh drinking water. I can go to the tap right here and drink out of the tap and not worry about it. In Haiti, you'd have to be careful. In Nigeria, you had to be careful. There, a lot of sickness can come through drinking water. In Port-au-Prince, the disease that they have, there's a disease that they can get from drinking water. Do you guys know what that disease is called? Dysentery? No. Cholera. From drinking water. They had to be careful for that. We don't have to worry about that here because we've been blessed. And there's some questions that you can ask yourself. And I'm here this morning to argue that of the two questions you can ask yourself, one of them, it's a good start, but the other one is more profitable overall because it challenges you. But I'm going to start with the first one that packs less of the punch. The first one is, why am I so blessed? Why am I so blessed? Because we've already established that we are blessed as a nation. Is there anybody that disagrees with that as a nation? With the possessions that we have, with the things God, the technology, the ease of access to travel, be able to travel a wide area for churches. I don't have to walk. I just jump in a car and I drive. Why am I so blessed? I see teams come. When they come to Haiti, they ask, why am I so blessed? Why are we so blessed? What did you do to merit being born here in the United States? What did you do? What did your parents do that brought upon the favor of the Lord for your soul to be put in a baby in the U.S.? Like, why weren't you born in a third world country? And these are things that the people are thinking. They can't get out of that. And you know what it does? I see it do. It brings guilt into them. They're like, oh, I feel so guilty. Every time I throw away something, I feel so guilty. I'm not trying to minimize guilt, but I don't think that that's what God wants you to feel when you realize you're blessed. I think what he wants you to do and feel when you're blessed, or the question he wants you to ask when you're blessed, is what am I doing with the blessings I have received? So stop asking, why am I blessed? But ask yourself, what am I doing with the things that I have, with the blessings God has given me? What am I doing with them? Let's just think of a few. Family, your family, the time that you have. Some of you are like, Zachary, you don't know me. I don't have any time. money is a good thing. It's the love of money you got to watch out for, right, Pastor? The love of money you got to watch out for. Money is a good thing. Ministries can't survive without money. It's a blessing. The testimony of your salvation. Can I hear an amen to that one? The testimony of your salvation. That's a tremendous blessing. You have the assurance that you won't have to be eternally separated from God because Jesus' blood covers your sins. How many people do you think know that? How many times have you walked by a person and felt that nudge of the Lord to speak out to him and you didn't? I'll be the first one to raise my hand on that one. We all do it. But these are blessings that God has given to us. And you know what the thing is? We will be held accountable with how faithful we are, with how we use those blessings. I think of the story of the good steward in Matthew 25, where the owner of the house, he left, and he put his servants in charge of a certain amount of talents. With one he gave like 10, another he gave 5, another he gave 1. And the servant left. Or the master left, the servant was using whatever. By the time the master came back, instead of the 10 talents he had 10 more. he was using the talents or the blessings that came, and he was using it for the Lord. He was being a faithful steward. You know what his master told him when he got home? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the little things. I will now entrust you with greater things. Then you go to the one with five. Same thing. The guy with five talents, he got five more. The same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful with this, I will entrust you with more. But then you get to the guy that did nothing with the talents you received. It gets a little grim, doesn't it? We are held accountable. We are held accountable with how we use the things that we have. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, you could turn there. Towards the latter half of the verse, it says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Luke chapter 12, verse 48, for those of you who are looking. The latter half. See, I'm not coming here this morning to be a cloud of depression and guilt and say, oh, you need to use your blessings, you need to give it all to Zachary so he can take it to Haiti and set up a retirement egg so he can come home live in a... That's not my heart at all. This is supposed to be a challenge because it challenges me personally to think, how am I being useful or productive with the things I have received? How am I using it for the Lord? Because I can guarantee you one thing, God doesn't give you things so you can waste it on yourselves. He doesn't do that. His whole purpose is so that he will be glorified, so that we can glorify him with how we spend our money. If we're working an 80-hour-a-week job with the time that he's given us and neglecting our family, we need to find a different job. If you're spending your money on the newest cars and the latest gizmos and the brightest and fanciest new things, and you're in debt up to your eyeballs, you need to stop spending money. This isn't Zachary telling you what he thinks. This is what the Bible is saying. We are held accountable for the things we do, for how we are being stewards of the money we have. And I don't want you guys to feel guilt. I'm not doing that at all. That's not my heart. I don't want condemnation to be here. This is supposed to be a challenge to motivate us in our walk with the Lord. And you know, God is at work everywhere. I'm not here simply to advertise Haiti, advertise Labors with Christ, Zachary. I'm not here to do that. God is working here. He is working in your community. He is working in the lives of your loved ones. He desires just as much for that little orphan baby to come to know him as much as he does for your unsaved family member to know him. And you know, he's constantly moving. He's constantly working. You see ministries that are reaching out to people, community events where you're reaching out to help people who are in need. And in Haiti, in different countries, Nigeria, India, you fill in the blank. Wherever it is, God is moving. He's at work. I just don't want anybody in this room to sit down and watch it all happen without taking any part in it. Because there's so much more to life than just sitting down and watching as God does his work. Because he's going to work. He's going to have his way. What God wants is he wants us to be active in serving him. He wants us to be fruitful and faithful with the blessings he has given us. So instead of just sitting, instead of just letting other people do it, oh, Pastor Tom, you can do it. You got a pastor behind your name. Or Zachary, you can do it because you're a missionary. Or maybe, oh, let Elder Bob or Bishop Dean. Or it's not just for people who have gone to school or for anybody that is more spiritually in tune or whatever. It's not about that. God has a specific calling and a specific purpose for each and every one of us. And he wants to use each and every one of us in the places that we're at. He wants to. And so my challenge is not to get caught up in just letting other people do things, to find where God is working, to jump in, to move alongside, to use the things that you've been blessed with, your time, your family, your health. Health is a big one. Go to a cancer patient. My grandpa died of lung cancer. And if you were to ask a cancer patient how big of a blessing health is, he'd tell you. God's giving you all these things. What are we doing? What am I doing with the things I have received to honor God? What am I doing? Will I be able to stand before the throne of Jesus when it's all said and done and him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. You have been faithful." It's not so that we can earn salvation. It's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. Christian, salvation is a free gift, but the walk will cost you. Won't it? I pray that you guys are challenged. I pray that you will begin to look for opportunities where you can serve. And I don't know any of you from Adam in this room. I really don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. I don't know the things God has been speaking to you, or if you're even listening to him. I don't know those things. This is a message that God put on my heart for you this morning, and I want to thank you for the opportunity of speaking. And before I close, I'd like to say a prayer for you all and then turn it back over to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you have given us the privilege to serve you, to work alongside you as laborers in a place where the harvest is plentiful, Lord, but you need laborers because they're few. I ask, God, that you continue to let this message go out, Lord, as it comes from my mouth. I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to move in the hearts of people and work what he has desired, what he wants in the hearts of the people in this room. I ask, Father, that as we continue to walk out our lives with you, as we continue to seek after you and look for ways where we can serve you, look for ways where we can give you glory, Lord, that you would continue to grow us. You would bring new revelations to us as we're seeking after you. You would speak to us. You would give us opportunities, Lord, where we could share your name, where we can be active in serving you and being good stewards of the things you have given us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this congregation. Thank you, Lord, that you love each and every one of them. And you're calling them to a higher level, Lord. You're calling them to something much more grand than themselves, Lord. It's a higher purpose and a higher calling than themselves. And we ask, God, that you would move and have your way, that your name be glorified in the things that we do and the ways that we serve. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.